This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A flashing caution light for the global economy out of China today. Unexpectedly, consumers in August were not spending all that much. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning to you. Chinese consumers have been buying more goods, but at a far slower rate than expected. There's news today that retail sales in China for August increased by only 2.5% compared to a year earlier. Forecasters expected that number would be much higher, maybe up by 7%. Officials attribute this to the aftermath of a flood, but also the highly infectious Delta variant of coronavirus. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak has more from Shanghai.
Chinese officials blame summer floods, like the one that hit Zhengzhou City, for slowing down consumption. The subway where people were trapped during a record rainfall in July only reopened last week. Meanwhile, China has a zero-tolerance policy for COVID-19 cases. That means entire communities get locked down, even from one positive case. China has fully vaccinated 70% of its population, and the Chinese vaccines used are effective at preventing hospitalizations, but not transmission. Today, the Ministry of Education strongly encouraged students to not travel during the upcoming holidays later this month and in October, and that will hurt consumption. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Let us do the numbers. Dow and S&P futures are each up 0.2%. The NASDAQ future is up 0.3%. The benchmark interest rate, U.S., the 10-year Treasury yield is down this morning, 1.28%. Europe, the FTSE index in London is up 0.1%. Crude oil up 1.4% right now, $71.44 a barrel. And projections show that California Governor Gavin Newsom will stay in office, with voters resoundingly saying no to a recall effort. Projections show an insurmountable lead with 2/3 of the vote counted. No recall is ahead by about 30%, and the leading opponent has conceded. A new congressional report says the tax increases proposed by Democrats to help pay for President Biden's $3.5 trillion spending plan would mostly affect higher-income Americans. People in lower-income brackets would get a tax break. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Congress's Joint Committee on Taxation estimates that Americans earning less than $200,000 a year would pay less in income taxes through 2025 if changes to the tax code proposed by House Democrats became law. People earning more than $200,000 would see a slight tax hike. Income taxes on those making $1 million a year or more would rise by more than 10%. After the expanded child tax credit expires in 2027, people earning $30,000 to $200,000 a year would see a slight tax increase. The top income tax rate would rise to more than 39% for people earning $400,000 a year or more. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Today, we're getting two takes on the nudging and the pushing and the waiting and the U-turns in policy surrounding a key workplace culture issue of these latter months of 2021. Bosses who want us back working on company property and employees who conclude that working remotely is actually better for them and for the work. Let's turn to Alexis, an employee at a Minnesota government agency. We agreed not to say her last name or identify her specific job, given her concern that speaking out could have negative consequences at work. She's now on a hybrid work schedule. Sometimes she has to go into the office, but she told me that in her case, going in seems, if not pointless, then counterproductive.
When I am in the office, there is a tendency of certain people to want to return to an office norm, which is going from cubicle to cubicle and talking to everybody and, you know, doing what I refer to as coffee housing. which is not helpful when you're focused on number intensive analysis. In addition to that, we are still required to wear masks in the office, and all meetings are still held via Teams or Zoom regardless. So those meetings can take place on my couch just as easily as they could take place in my cubicle.
Let's spare a thought, though, for the manager, right? They need to manage for accountability. How can they be sure that not you, but let's say someone is not sitting around playing Sudoku for much of the day?
Well, certainly guardrails have been put in place since the start of the pandemic. And while it took many years for the department to get to the point where they agreed, oh, it turns out we can work from home, they were very, very quick in coming up with solutions to making sure people were staying on track. So, of course, there's requirements to keep your calendar up to date. There's, of course, requirements to make sure that you remain active on Teams. There are certainly requirements also to have your computer on at all times so that our information technology department can monitor that there is work going on.
You must miss some of the hurly-burly, some of the what did you call it? Coffee, what did you say? It was a great term.
Coffee housing.
Yes, you must miss some of that. I mean, you know, not all of those interactions are totally lame.
Not all of them, but with regards to collaborating with my coworkers, which is a very important part of the job that I do, that's still an availability. And in fact, I've become closer to some of my coworkers since the pandemic, primarily because we were working remotely and it made the reality of having to reach out and make it intentional a requirement of my job.
Alexis works at a Minnesota government agency. We were agreed to withhold her full name and job position, given her concern that speaking out might have some kind of negative consequences in the workplace. Alexis, thank you for the time.
Thank you, David.
But for bosses in this jam, I also talked today to a consultant who works with senior executives and boards to help them navigate this fraught process. You can stream it, marketplace.org, if you missed that conversation on the air. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.